All right. So, with Rosh Hashanah so close now, just a couple of days, and we're in those days prior to the high holidays, when we traditionally should be looking to ensure our righteousness before Adonai, at least traditionally in Judaism, that's what these days are for. We should have our minds set on how to be closer to Adonai, how to be righteous in Adonai before Adonai. We as a people and individuals should be looking to return to Him again, in fact, which means that we've been before Him before, you know, in front of Him before. Some may have actually wandered, though, over a bit during the last year. And so we examine ourselves to ensure that we're right in our stance before Him and not watching Him from afar, maybe just outside the camp. As believers, we are so often focused on the return of Yeshua, the Messiah, that we lose sight that for so many of us, before Yeshua's return, we as a people and as individuals must return to Him. There are those who think that returning to Adonai is like returning to a bus station. They think that as long as they're there, they'll see when the bus comes and they'll just hop on. It takes more than knowing, it takes more than just being at the bus station or knowing about the station and the bus. If we don't know the time the bus will leave, then the only way to ensure that we can be right on time to catch the bus, to catch that ride, is to be there all the time. The only way to ensure that we're right with Adonai at the time that He comes back again is to be righteous and before Him all the time. For so many, that means returning to Adonai. Today, I want to take a look at the steps of returning to Adonai. I'll have four steps, which are really a kind of a boiled down list, because each one of these steps could have multiple sub-steps to follow. But these four are at least the basics that'll get you right for the high holidays. To return to Adonai means to reestablish a close, devoted relationship with God after a period of spiritual separation, meaning having some space between you and God. The good news is that although you're alone when you sin, meaning without Adonai, we are never alone when we start our return to Him. Look at Malachi 3. I'm going to be reading Malachi 3:1. Behold, I am sending my messenger, and he will clear the way before me. Suddenly he will come to his temple, the Lord whom you seek, and the messenger of the covenant, the one whom you desire. Behold, he is coming, says Adonai Tzvaot. He will send a messenger, or the one who will help us, to not only hear the message, but to act in a way worthy of hearing the message. That's the Ruach HaKodesh, who Yeshua sent to be our wise counselor and help. Therefore, when we're lost and in our mess, there is still one who can help us to see the path of righteousness, to help us to perform these four steps for ourselves and for His sake as well. I say for his sake, because He desires us to be with Him. So let's jump into the first step. The first step for us today is to acknowledge our sins. This means not just knowing about it, but understanding and accepting why it is a sin, how you sin, how Adonai feels about it, and then feeling the same way about it. Feeling the same way He does includes the desire to leave it behind. We must also be sincere in our feelings towards him and the sin. So let's look at a few passages about how to look at sin. The first is Psalm 32:3-4. When I kept silent, my bones became brittle through my groaning all day long. For day and night your hand was heavy upon me. My strength was drained as in the droughts of summer. Selah. This was written by King David, and when he tried to hide his sin from Adonai, he could feel the difference. He felt sick, and he groaned all day, which he says is because Adonai already knew of his sin, and his hand was heavy upon him. So the first thing to do is what not to do. Don't think that you can hide a sin of any kind from Adonai. We are to acknowledge the sin for what it is. Not a mistake, not a slip, not an unfortunate occurrence. We don't try to put it away and not think about it, but we call it what it is and present ourselves before Adonai. And we tell him about it. We confess it to him. But when we come to him, we have to be sincere in our words and our feelings about it. Adonai knows not just the sin, but the attitude towards the sin. Look at what the Lord said through the prophet Jeremiah about the sins of Israel, the northern tribes. What happened to Israel, and what Judah, the southern tribes, did when they saw them. Jeremiah 3, starting in verse 8. I noted that when backsliding Israel committed adultery, I sent her away and gave her a certificate of divorce. Yet unfaithful Judah, her sister, did not fear. Instead, she also went and committed adultery. It happened that through her frivolous prostitution, she polluted the land and committed adultery with stones and with wood. Yet after all this, her unfailing sister Judah did not return to me with her whole heart, but only insincerely. It is a declaration of Adonai. Then Adonai said to me, backsliding Israel has proved herself more righteous than unfaithful Judah. When Adonai said that Israel was being better than Judah, it was not that Israel, who was committing adultery with other false gods, was better than the backsliding Israel, but that Judah, who returned to Adonai, was just as bad off because she did not return with a sincere heart. She did not return with a whole heart, leaving a place in her heart for those false gods she was whoring with. He knew their heart, and they either did also or were not aware of the place they were in. But they did not want to change completely either way. So Adonai was not willing to change them either. We see something similar in 1 Samuel 15 when Samuel gave instructions to Saul about what to do with the Amalekites. But he did not follow the directions completely or accurately. When Samuel confronted Saul with the truth, Saul said this starting in verse 20. 1 Samuel 15:20. But I did obey the voice of Adonai, Saul said to Samuel. I went on a mission on which Adonai sent me, and I brought back Agag, the king of Amalek, and utterly destroyed the Amalekites. But the people took some of the spoils, sheep and oxen, the best of what was under the ban of destruction, to sacrifice to Adonai, your God, in Gilgal. Samuel said, does Adonai delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices as in obeying the voice of Adonai? Behold, to obey is better than sacrifice, to pay heed than the fat of the rams. It was not that Adonai changed his mind about the sacrifices. He didn't all of a sudden say, don't worry, you don't need to sacrifice. Through Samuel, Adonai was saying that the sacrifice is not the most important thing, but the heart is what's important. The heart attitude is what's important. How sincere were they? He told them what to do, and their hearts were not sincere in following them, in following the instructions. They followed the instructions of Adonai until it conflicted with their own heart. Then they did what they wanted. And we really don't know if they thought that they were going to sacrifice these animals to Adonai, or were they really just going to keep them for themselves? Either way, it didn't matter. Either way, they were going to do it, whatever they wanted. They were considered lost, though, when Adonai saw the sin of disobedience in their hearts. Their sincerity of their hearts, which showed in their actions in this case, caused Saul to be dismissed by Adonai as the leader of the nation. If the sacrifices of a king of Israel were not to be acceptable, then how could our own sacrifices be any better? How can we stand before Adonai when we're this is how we're told. He doesn't just leave us dangling. He tells us in Malachi 3, verse 2, starting there. But who can endure the day of his coming? Who can stand when he appears? For he will be like a refiner's fire and like soap for cleaning raw wool. And he will sit as a smelter or a purifier of silver. And he will cleanse the sons of Levi and purify them like gold or silver. Then they will become for Adonai those who present an offering in righteousness. Then the offering of Judah and Jerusalem will be pleasing to Adonai as in days of iniquity and years of old. If our sacrifices are not acceptable because of our sins and heart attitude, then how are we to bring a sacrifice to him? He will cleanse us so that we can bring the sacrifice to him without the problem of that filth from the sin that was on us. He will enable us to do the sacrifice again, but then they will be pleasing to him. The cleansing is dependent upon the heart attitude, though. So before we bring the sacrifice of any kind, we need to examine our hearts, not just to see if there's sin, but to see how we acknowledge it. How do we feel about it? Do we feel the same way as Adonai feels about it? Are we sincere bringing it before him? Now, the next step is to approach Adonai with a confession while being humble and honest to him. Being humble means that we know who he is and that we acknowledge our dependence upon his love and grace towards us. Going back to Psalm 32, we read again King David and the next step he took towards returning to Adonai. Psalm 32, starting in verse 5. Then I acknowledged my sin to you and did not hide my iniquity. I said, I confess my transgressions to Adonai, and you forgave the guilt of my sin. Selah. So let everyone who is godly pray to you in a time when you may be found. When great flood waters rise, they will not reach him. What does that mean when it says, pray to you when you may be found? I think one of the possible answers is that he is only found when we acknowledge our sin and approach him sincerely. When we are still in sin, we have no desire to change or even ask for forgiveness. He is behind you, so you don't see him. When is he found? When you turn back to him. Then he becomes visible to you again. And then you'll find him. It's not that he was not there all the time, but he was right behind you. It's like that old thing with children, hide behind you. I don't see you. But as soon as you turn, oh, there you are. If God's behind you, he's still nearby. He's still close to you. But you don't see him. It's not that he doesn't see you. But when you turn to him, now you see him. Now he becomes visible. Now he'll start cleansing. Now he'll start accepting your sacrifices again. Jeremiah tells us a bit about how to look for him and how to find him. Jeremiah 29:12. Then you will call on me and come and pray to me, and I will listen to you. You will seek me and find me when you search for me with all your heart. Then I will be found by you, says Adonai, and I will return you from exile and gather you from all the nations and from all the places where I have driven you, says Adonai. And I will bring you back to the place from which I removed you as captives in exile. He said that when we search for him with all our heart, we need to know that we need him and then act like he's the only and last way to salvation, because it is true he is the only and last way to salvation. Knowing he is the only way means that we put 100% of ourselves, 100% of our efforts into it. Because there is no other way. There is no plan B. Why save a little bit of yourself or your efforts when there's no place else to put them? We are to put our whole hearts into the act of knowing him, confessing to him, being humble and honest to him. No holding back. The half-done job is a job that is not done. Removing a ton of garbage from a 2-ton garbage pile still left a ton of garbage. Therefore, it's still a place unfit for the use of Adonai. In fact, even if you remove 75% of the garbage, still not enough. Even if you remove 99% of the garbage, that wouldn't be enough to be a pure place for Adonai. And that's what he wants from you, a pure heart. But the good news is that he knows that what we're capable of. And he will help us through the Ruach HaKodesh. John said this in 1 John about confession and the help we get. 1 John 1:8. If we say we have no sin, we are deceiving ourselves and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and righteous to forgive our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. If we remove most of the garbage and say there is no garbage, when there really is, even if it's just a little bit, then the effort to remove only some of it is not honored by Adonai. But the fact is that he meets us much more than halfway when we turn to him. He promises that when we turn to him, which is done through the counseling of the Ruach HaKodesh, that we will see his faithful lovingness, that chesed love that he has for each of us. He will forgive and cleanse and purify us so that we're able to be in his presence, able to make that sacrifice to him. And if we maintain that attitude, it will be for all eternity that we're before him. Now, the third step is to make amends to Adonai and those on earth who you harmed. Making amends means that we acknowledge the harm we did and we try to restore what was lost. It could be an item. It could be trust. It could be relationship. We make amends to others, but only if it'll do no further harm to them or ourselves. That means that if we go to talk to somebody, but they're not ready yet, well, we're bringing up something painful to them. Don't do that. And then it's between you and Adonai. You're not to go and hurt them again. But it also means not to hurt yourself again as well. If you stole from a person, you should give back and consider giving more than what was taken. We see an example of making amends when Zacchaeus saw Yeshua. Yeshua had been seen by Zacchaeus, invited himself to his house. And then we read this about the encounter here. Luke 19:5. When Yeshua came to the place, he looked up and said to the man, "Zacchaeus, hurry and come down, for I must stay in your house." Zacchaeus hurried and came down and welcomed him fully. Did I not? Go back. You fix. That's what I keep saying to Adonai. I can't. You fix. Please. Zacchaeus hurried and came down and welcomed him joyfully. But when everyone saw it, they began to grumble, saying, "Yeshua has gone to be the guest of a sinner." But Zacchaeus stood there and said to the Lord, "Look, Master, half of my possessions I give to the poor. And if I have somehow cheated anyone, I repay four times as much." Zacchaeus saw Messiah, desired to know him, and getting to know him, wanted to make amends. This reimbursing and giving was not just a way of making amends to the people, but to Adonai as well. Living by the instructions of Adonai is just one way to make amends to him. Making amends to Adonai is not paying him back in funds, but by changing while making amends to others, which could be paying back or making an apology. By going through these steps, we are returning to Adonai, as well as making amends to him. The idea of making amends is important to Adonai, as we see in Matthew 5, which is part of the Sermon on the Mount. Matthew 5:23, "Therefore, if you are presenting your offering upon the altar, and there remember that your brother has something against you, leave your offering there before the altar and go. First be reconciled to your brother," make amends, "and then come and present your offering." We are told by Yeshua that if you have something against your neighbor, we are to leave that sacrifice behind. Go to the brother who's offended Once that amends is made, then come back and make the sacrifice. Why? Because the heart attitude is more important than the item being sacrificed. The acceptance of the sacrifice is more dependent on the heart attitude than the condition of the sacrifice. And the attitude is not just the attitude regarding the sacrifice, but the attitude you have about anything that the Lord cares about. And he cares about everything. I read a commentary that said, Yeshua made amends for us so that we don't have to worry about that. Gotta disagree. Yeshua paid the price of the sin in our lives. But we are the ones who have to make amends by doing. By going and doing his will, and not just by returning to the life that we had prior. Our amends is not the payment of sin, two different things, but the change before Adonai that will please him, which is what I want to talk about in our next step. The next step and final step for today is to make the change that will change your life that you're living and the path that you're walking before him. That includes dedicating your heart and life to his way and to follow Adonai's will for your life. That includes praying, reading, and then acting in the way that pleases him. This is what Shaul, the Apostle Paul, says in Romans 12. Romans 12:1. I urge you, therefore, brothers and sisters, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your spiritual service. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind so that you may discern what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect. Many of us are familiar with these verses, but they should be repeated and remembered often. Live life out for him and as a holy sacrifice to him. Then he says how? By not conforming to the world, but to the word and the will of Adonai. These are the words repeated many times in many different ways in Scripture. And one of these is Proverbs 4, verse 23. Guard your heart diligently, for from it flow springs of life. Put away perversity from your mouth and keep devious lips far from you. Let your eyes look directly ahead. Fix your gaze straight in front of you. The proverb tells us that change comes from the heart, the mouth, and the eyes. The heart was the center of intelligence at the time. So change what you know or what you think, as well as what you say, as well as what you look at. These are all things of the flesh that we need to tame. The brain is flesh, the tongue is flesh, the eyes are flesh. And they all want to do what they want to do. Flesh is going to be flesh. And they're going to act fleshly. But we're to tame them and bring them under control so they act in accordance with the Ruach, or the Spirit, which is to be aligned with the Ruach HaKodesh. And we tame them for a reason. Titus 2:11. For the grace of God has appeared, bringing salvation to all men, training us to deny ungodliness and worldly desires, and to live in a manner that is self-controlled and righteous and godly in the present age. we wait for the blessed hope and appearance of the glory of our great God and Savior, Messiah Yeshua. He gave himself to us so that he might redeem us from every lawless deed, and so that he might purify for himself a chosen people, zealous for good deeds. So communicate these things and encourage and correct with complete authority. Let no one look down on you. This life is a training ground for us. We are being moved closer by being more like him when we allow changes in our lives that will help us to deny the things of the world and repel them from our lives even before they get onto us. We are not going to be perfect, but we can be moving towards the perfect. We may never make it to perfect. I know we will never make it to perfect, but that doesn't mean that we don't move towards perfect. With each mistake in our walk, meaning with each sin, we are to learn a lesson that is moving us to be more like him. Listen to the instructions of Rav Shaul in Romans 2:4. Or do not belittle the riches of his kindness and tolerance and patience. Not realizing that God's kindness leads you to repentance. After warning about judging others, Shaul writes that it is Adonai's kindness that leads us to repentance. We are changed by his kindness. But that doesn't mean that we're to look back or look around at others and judge them. We are to show the same love and kindness that he showed us. We may not have the ability to change others, but we have the ability to point others to the one who can change them. But we cannot do that if we apply any kind of judgment to them. Going back to Psalm 32 again, we see this encouragement for us. Psalm 32:10. Many are the sorrows of the wicked, but loving kindness surrounds the one who trusts in Adonai. Be glad in Adonai and rejoice, you righteous, and shout for joy, all who are upright in heart. The scripture doesn't say that after you're right with Adonai for a year, or if you're right for Adonai for a week, or even a day. It implies that the second you're right with Adonai, that you are to rejoice and shout with joy. The change in your life can happen very quickly. And at the time that we recognize the change, and perhaps even before it, meaning that we recognize the promise of Adonai, we are to rejoice when we're sinners in our hearts when we make the change. Now, I've read that in Mishnah, that's a book of ancient sages' writings. It is believed that once a person has repented, they can be close to and loved by Adonai. It's right in the Mishnah. Even if their atonement is not completed yet. This means that once they made the turn back to Adonai, he is there to love them, clean them, and fellowship with them. It also means that the completion of the act of repenting for the sin is required. It is as if you put down some money to buy a car. As long as you keep making the payments, the car is yours. It won't be repossessed unless you stop making the payments. With Adonai, if repentance is not complete, if the steps are started but not completed, Adonai is not going to be pleased and he's not going to continue to be turned towards you. His presence will not be seen. He'll be behind you again, waiting, though, for you to turn back again, to start the process over again. That's His love. That's His mercy. There's a traditional Jewish piece of liturgy named the, Anata Ne Tokif. And it says in part, "For your name signifies your praise, hard to anger and easy to appease. For you do not wish the death of one deserving death, but that he repent from his way and live. Until the day of his death, you await him. If he repents, you will accept him immediately." What a wonderful prayer. God does not desire the death of those who deserve death, and desires to save those. And as soon as they turn repentant, he accepts them immediately. Adonai does not wish any to die separated from him by sin. He wants all to live in the presence of his love. As it says, it requires repentance from our sins that is the cause of our death. That is a move in our lives to return to him, to allow him to act in the loving way that he wants to act towards us. He wants to love us. He wants to act in our lives. He wants us to return to him. So what was the acts of returning to him? Acknowledge, understand, and accept, and feel as he feels, and be sincere about your sin. Confession, be humble, be honest, knowing our dependence upon him. Third, make amends to people by repairing, to Adonai by doing. And finally, make the change he wants in us. Pray, read, act the way he wants us to be. These are the way to return back. Father, we thank you and praise you that you are the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, that you desire us to return to you, that there is nothing within you that desires death to us, but instead, there is everything within you that desires that we live by you, desires to be cleansed by you. Your desire is that we bring an acceptable sacrifice by having an acceptable heart attitude. Father, we just thank you and praise you that you're the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, worthy of our sacrifice when we bring it in a worthy way. Father, by your Ruach HaKodesh, help us to be worthy to bring your sacrifice. We just thank you and praise you. And everyone said, amen and amen.